we do something today? Can we finally talk about the elephants in the room? For weeks now, my little buddies have been kind of bouncing around the room. At first, people were like, well, Allie Grace or Milani have left their stuffed animals around the room. And then they're like, well, how'd they get them up on top of the speakers? How did they, you know, get around there wondering what's going on? And then at some point, one of the gray elephant got really spiritually starting to read his Bible, really digging into the Word of God. But can we talk about the elephant in the room? Because sometimes there's things that we know are around, but we don't really want to talk about them. We see it, but we don't want to address it. So today we're just going to talk about an elephant in the room. And one of those is something that, if we're to be really honest, we struggle with, but we're not going to admit it. And it's the idea of forgiveness. This thought of the elephant in the room, I do not have to forgive you. And our thought being that I am the exception to the rule. And you think when that happens, we're like, hey, if you knew what he or she did to me, if you knew what they said, if you knew what they posted on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, what they texted to their friends, what screenshot they captured from their phone and passed it around, if you knew what they did, you would understand that I am right not to forgive or to forget what they did to me, if you knew it. And sometimes it could even be an unmet or uncommunicated expectation, or maybe even an imagined slight, a bad dream. I mean, one time, Leah Beth woke up in the middle of the night, and then she's getting mad at me. And I'm like wondering, what in the world's going on? Why is my wife mad at me? She's like kicking me and just all upset with me. And it's because in her dream, she had a bad dream about me, and she's like, I was wrong, and I'm going to pay for it now. And I'm like, what did I do? But her dream was so real to her that she was mad. You ever been there before? It's not fun being on the receiving end of that one, is it? Because you're like, I can't defend myself against that one. Even Thursday morning, I have this routine during the week where I'll wake up early in the morning, and usually when I have a message that I'm preparing, it'll be on my thoughts, and I'll be thinking through the scriptures I've studied, the outline that I have, and different thoughts will come to mind, and I'll usually wake up in the morning and I'll think about that stuff, and I probably annoy my wife because I'll grab my phone, I'll turn it on, and I'll punch some notes in so I remember, because if I ever, like, hey, if I fall back asleep, I know I'll remember this, and then I never do. So I'm like putting those notes in, and I'm doing all that, and I'm thinking about something, and something comes to mind, and just this whole idea of forgiveness, and then I turn my phone off, I get up, I go, I get in the shower, and as I'm showering and I'm kind of thinking about it, the Lord's like, are you going to forgive a situation? I'm like, I don't have to forgive that. And the Lord's like, yes, you do, and pointed right to mind what it was. And I'm like, oh. Because sometimes we don't want to address the elephant in the room. We don't want to talk about it. While hanging on the cross, there was this point where Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. As an innocent man is being falsely accused, prosecuted, has to go through the worst death imaginable for us. As he's nailed to the cross, as he's dying a most horrible death, they're there mocking him. Haha, look at him. Thinks he's the king of the Jews, thinks he's the son of God. Look at him. If he's so powerful, have him call the angels and get him off the cross. Look at him. Hey, look at all his last bit of possessions. Let's raffle them off. Let's sell them. Let's have him nothing. Let's just leave him completely exposed up there. They're mocking him, and it's horrible. And yet his response is, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That's probably not the response we would want to have in that situation. God, make them pay for what they did. God, make them suffer for what they said. God, make them, God, get them for what they're doing. Isn't that the reaction we want to have? Or maybe that's just me and my carnality. God, I want to make them pay. But the reality is, forgiveness is a big deal to God. Now, it's easy for us to say things or think things, something like this: fool me once and I'll forgive you. Fool me twice and I'll make you pay forever. Or something like, sorry, you've sinned too much for me to forgive you. I can forgive everyone else, but you really get on my nerves. Because there are some people that, man, we have a hard time. Because somehow they rub us the wrong way, and we have a really difficult time forgiving. That's tough. Now, what Jesus has to say about forgiveness. In Matthew 6:9, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. I mean, there he is. He's like, okay, Jesus, teach us how to pray. We like how you pray. Man, when we see you pray, we want to know what it's like. We want to be able to pray with the same heart that you have for prayer. So, Jesus, help us to pray like you pray. And so, there they are. They're like, teach us that. And so, Jesus is like, okay, pray like this. And he gives them this whole thing. But right in there, tucked in there, is this need for us to make sure that we're forgiving people. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. You notice Jesus didn't say, forgive my sins even though I'm still holding grudges. Or Jesus didn't say, I forgive, or he didn't say, okay, God, you forgive me, but I don't have to forgive others. No, he said, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Then Jesus continues, and don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. He tucks all that in there. Jesus teaches us to pray, and he points right into the idea of forgiveness. Notice that my receiving forgiveness from God is conditional on my giving forgiveness toward others. And I was listening to a message by a pastor named Craig Groeschel about forgiveness a few months ago, and I stole a couple of his points and borrowed them, really, to share with you today. But one of those is, when we talk about forgiveness, it causes our emotions to get all stirred up. Talking about forgiving others, it creates a lot of emotions. And rightly so, because you don't know what someone did to me. My spouse cheated. My best friend lied. Someone I loved and admired let me down. I wasn't paid what I was owed. A promise was broken. I was used for their benefit. I devoted a significant portion of my life trying to win a parent's approval, and they were emotionally absent. That person was supposed to protect me, but they hurt me. They hurt me emotionally, physically, spiritually, or maybe sexually. There's scars to this day. I mean, we experience pain. Something happened. It hurts. It's horrible. It's unfair. It's wrong. It's reprehensible. And then sometimes we have the stuff that people have done to us, and that hurts. But then isn't it even harder? It's hard when we have to endure a personal betrayal or abuse, but sometimes it's even harder when someone you love is hurt. You can come after me, but man, you go after him, you go after her, you go after them, man, then it really hurts. Why did you hurt him? Why did you hurt her? It really causes things to get hard. And so then, in my hurt, I put on a shield. Strap it on. Like, hey, you offended me. There's an offense. So I'm going to put it on. Or I'm going to put on another one behind me to defend me. A defense. Man, I'm going to protect myself from what I think you might do based on what you've done before. I'm going to protect myself. You did this to me. I'm carrying it, man. I'm protecting myself now. Man, I'm not going to let you hurt me again. And we think, man, I'm guarding my heart. I'm guarding my heart. I'm not going to get hurt again. But at the end result, though, is that we're really not guarding our heart. We're isolating it. I'm keeping it shielded away, but then it's hardened. And now I'm isolating my heart. You can't get to it. I'm protecting myself. So how do I forgive something that seems unforgivable? How do I forgive something that you've done to me? But man, that's not a forgivable offense. Notice the beginning of how Jesus taught us to pray. He starts out, "Our Father." He didn't start out, "My Father who's in heaven." He starts out, "Our Father who is in heaven." He's not just my Father, he's our Father. Our relationship with God's other children deeply matters to God. Think about it. If you're a parent, don't you love it when your kids get along? Don't you love it? When little Bobby and little Susie, when they're just getting along, oh, you love it. And you're thinking, oh, it's just a melody to your ears as they're just playing together. But then 5 minutes later, when little Bobby or little Susie get upset with each other, and then it's like, don't you hate it? Doesn't it drive you crazy? Like, oh, it was such a beautiful thing. Bobby and Susie, they're playing, they're having fun. Now Bobby and Susie are at war, and you're like, oh, this is horrible. It's a horrible experience. Think about how God feels when his people are all against each other. It's so beautiful when we're together, and so ugly when we're at war with each other. So how do I forgive something that seems unforgivable? One of the things I have to do is prioritize making things right. I can't ignore the elephant in the room. I want to ignore the elephant in the room. I don't want to talk about the little guy. I don't want to address it, but I need to prioritize making things right. Matthew 5:23, so if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. God's basically saying, go make it right and then come worship me. Quit fighting amongst yourselves. Go work it out. Because if we live in bitterness and resentment and hatred, then we continue to let the wound stay infected and it poisons our soul. And I don't want to have a poisoned soul. So then it comes to the question, to forgive or not to forgive? Because forgiveness is a choice that I make. But I'm not there yet, Mark. I'm angry. I can't forgive him. I am mad. Even now, thinking about it, oh, it gets me stirred up. I mean, I remember this one situation. I was in college. I worked in a warehouse and sold aluminum and vinyl siding at this warehouse. And so I was a stock boy delivery guy. So I would load up the truck, take it somewhere. If a contractor came and buying a bunch of siding to put on your house, he would show up and he'd be like, okay, take me out there. He'd go into the office, order what it was. I would go out into the warehouse, drag these long boxes onto a something to move them back to the loading dock to throw them on his truck. And so this one client comes in, a contractor, he comes in, and him and his buddy come walking up, and they're like, hey, show us so-and-so siding. Show us so-and-so. And so I'm walking around, and then he comes to this one bin, and he's like, hey, pull some of that out of the box so I can see it. And so I open up the box, and I pull a piece of it out so I can show him. And I hear him giggling. I'm like, why are they giggling? It's vinyl siding. And then he's like, hey. And I turn around, and he's holding a gun, pointing it at me. I'm like, my heart's racing. He pulls the trigger. There's an explosion of gunpowder. He had a blank in the gun, but I'm covered with gunpowder. I'm thinking, I could be dead. Like that. I was mad. I was not happy. I get on the phone, and I'm like calling a detective with the city of St. Louis Police Department, and I'm like, hey, this is what happened to me. What do I can do? And they're like, well, you can press charges. And I'm thinking, if I press charges, I might cause trouble with my boss. And I'm like all frustrated. What do I do? How do I handle this? Because nobody from the office even was paying attention to it. They just thought it was a funny joke, and I'm humiliated. So, I mean, for years, if I were to talk about it, I'd get mad. I'm like, man, I want to drive around and find this guy. Every time a contractor pulled in, I'm like watching, do I see that guy that did that? Because I'm ready to take him out back. I can't forgive. You don't know what they did to me. Don't know what he said to me. You don't know. So what do I do when I'm still angry? Pray. Jesus saying this in that same big sermon that he has there. You have heard what I have said. You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Pray. Pray. But I don't feel like praying. I also don't feel like eating well. I also don't feel like exercising. I also don't, you know, feel like doing all those things. What do we find we have to do in those moments? We have to put actions before our attitudes. Because if I put my attitudes before my actions, I'll never do anything that I don't want to do. So important, in order to do the things that are important to me, I have to put the action before the attitude. So yeah, you've hurt me. Oh, I'm angry. So what do? I pray. I cry out to God. Your prayer may or may not change the other person, but it always changes you. Have you found that to be true? When I just cry out to God about the person, it begins to change me. It softens my heart. It softens my attitude. It softens the way I act. Praying is a God-honoring place for me to start. Then I choose to forgive. The word that Jesus used when he says forgive, the Greek word, and it means to hurl away, to throw it away. So I take this offense and I hurl it away from me. I get it away from me. I no longer keep it close. Because when I keep it close, I think about it. I daydream about it. I keep it really close. No, I hurl it away. I choose to forgive. Paul, writing to the Colossians in 3:13, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. God freely forgives my sins. God freely does. He freely forgives it. So in the same way, I hurl the offense away. I get rid of the offense. I keep it away from me. I don't deserve it. I didn't earn it. So I forgive as the Lord forgave me. I choose forgiveness over bitterness. Because when I hold it close, have you ever found you get bitter? You don't really get better. You definitely get bitter. Because you over and over in the mind. Have you thought about when I ask God to forgive me, that it occurs instantly? It occurs immediately. It occurs without hesitation. God's not like up there, I don't know, I'll think about it. Oh, I'll consider it. I'll give it some thought. It drives my kids crazy whenever I do that when they're asking me a question. When it's one of those things where I'm not sure how I need to approach the situation, and they're like, Dad, can we do this? Dad, can we go here? Dad, can we buy this? Dad, can we do any of this? And I'm like, I'll put it under consideration. I'll think about it. It drives them nuts when I do that. Wouldn't it drive us nuts if we pray, God, forgive me for what I did. Forgive me for this offense. And God's just like, let me contemplate this for a moment. Okay, wait a minute, God. A moment to you is different than a moment for me. Because you're eternal. So let's like speed this up. No, God, it's immediate response to forgive me. Through Jesus, we have the redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Or put another way, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to think about. I am forgiven freely, so my response is, I freely forgive. Because forgiveness brings healing. It brings healing in a home. It brings healing in a relationship. It brings healing in a workplace. It brings healing. And also, forgiveness brings freedom. Holding a grudge makes me hard and bitter. Forgiveness sets me free. And then the scary reality of it, the elephant in the room, is that if I'm not willing to forgive, then I remain unforgiven. So I want to make sure I get rid of the elephant. Because I'm not the exception to the rule. I want it to be away from me. I must forgive to be forgiven. I want to be free. I just find it so interesting that Jesus spent, teach us to pray, and then that becomes a big part of it. Because it's something every day that we struggle with. But God wants us to be forgiven, and he wants us to be free. So if you're here today and you're just like, Mark, I'm having a really hard time. Pray. God, I'm having a really hard time. I know. Nobody said it'd be easy. I wish it were. But don't leave the elephant in the room. Find a way to resolve and work through the situation. Because when we're free, everything's different. It impacts the world in such a different way. Our lives are totally different when we're free. Our conversations are totally different when we're free. There's just so much joy in life when we're free. And it's ugly to be around somebody that's bitter. And you've been around those people. Where it's like you just have a conversation with them and somehow it all comes all the way back around to whatever that offense was. You're like, how in the world did we get here? We were talking about fishing and now we're talking about something that happened 30 years ago. How in the world? Because it stunts who we are. It stops us from growing. It just destroys us. But we want to be free and full of life. And we want to be forgiven. So freely we forgive. Stand with me this morning. Jesus is alive. He's alive. He came that we would have life. He came that we would have hope. And he goes to work in our lives. And so we don't want to leave anything in there that would keep us from experiencing all that he has for us at all. So maybe take a moment and just be like, God, is there someone that I'm really having a difficult time forgiving? I'm really having a difficult time letting go of it. Then right now, let's just deal with it between you and God. Let's just square it up between us and God. Just God, is there anybody? And if there's not, great. You're getting it. But if there is, let's deal with it so that there's none of that anymore. So that our hearts, our lives, our souls can be free. And that situation no longer holds us captive, but that we would be free and that we would really thrive in our relationships with